mistakes and not repeat them. I know I certainly hope that about my children. Because we tend to glom on to our children our fears and our pain and our prejudices without even knowing it. They watch everything and they get it. Whether it's for the good or not, they're absorbing it all, right? And we all do that. And we've all absorbed that, and we all are continuing to pass on our fears to them. And we kind of teach them not to love everybody. Only love some people, right? Just some people. You don't want to be too trusting. Stranger danger and all that. I get it. I get it, and I understand it. And yet, I think we overdo it. Children are wise. They can pick up on what it means to love somebody, but it doesn't mean you have to like someone. The commandment that Jesus gave to us was love one another as I have loved you. It doesn't mean that you have to like everybody. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with everybody. It doesn't mean that you have to accept everyone's behavior. But this love of which Jesus teaches is even loving our enemies. It's hard. It's radical. And it's the only way that the world is going to turn anew, like we just sang. Jesus knew, and he taught, and he taught, and he taught. And when he gave that great commandment about loving one another as I have loved you, it was on the night before he would be arrested, the night before he died, and there at the Last Supper. Now, we heard about this about 6 weeks ago during Holy Week. So it's odd that our gospel would go back to that scene, because that's what we just heard. The gospel we just heard was him saying this prayer at the Last Supper. But then it isn't strange. Let me go back. Holy Week happened, right? We heard this prayer. We heard all the other beautiful things that Jesus was trying to impart to his disciples before he would leave, because he knew what was going to happen. Then we go through Good Friday. We were on Good Holy Saturday waiting. Then we celebrated with joy the resurrection. And then for the last about 40 days, up until last Thursday, we heard stories about Jesus appearing. He had come back to life. He's kind of walking through walls, showing up in rooms where he's least expected. He even let Thomas touch his wounds because he didn't believe. And he reappeared, and he reappeared and ate with them and abided with them. And then, 40 days after Easter, he left again. He ascended into heaven, and that's what we celebrated last Thursday. And he told them that the Holy Spirit would be coming. So we're going to celebrate that a week from today on Pentecost. But between last Thursday and a week from today, these 9 days, some people do a novena, a prayer, a special time of intense prayer. And that's what the disciples were doing. And they hung out together waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's a perfect time to go back to this prayer of Jesus, because it was a prayer about the future. It was a prayer about how we are to be with one another while they were waiting, hoping that they could trust. It was about loving one another and being with one another. Life can be lonely, as we know. Life can get trying and difficult. And I heard of a story this week from an old friend of mine. She's very elderly. She called me on the telephone, and she's been really down lately. She's gone through a lot of physical problems, a lot of illnesses. She's still mourning the passing of her husband not too long ago. And she's getting more and more depressed, and so we'll talk to each other, and I try to bolster her, and I can get her to laugh. And when I'm down, she has been doing the same for me over the years. But this particular time in her life, she just seems really, like, I'm worried about her. And so this week, she called me, and we were talking, and she wanted to tell me that she had had this experience of helping a friend of hers. An elderly woman who was debilitated and in need of help, and she reached out and offered to give her help that she couldn't give herself. And as she was talking to me, she was like her old self again. She was bolstered. She was lighter. She had loved her neighbor as herself, even in her own misery, even in her own grief. And therein, the miracle and the work of Christ happened. Does she still have challenges? Yeah. But she reached out in love, and now others will do the same for her. This prayer that Jesus prayed is this awareness of the Creator in all of life. And he prayed it for his disciples, and it may have gone something like this. They know that I came from you, Dad. Because Jesus used to call God Abba, which translated really means like daddy or dad, a familiarity that was foreign to the people of that day. He said, they know I came from you, Dad. They know that everything I taught them, I got from you. Protect them now so that they may be one as we are one. Protect them from evil. Make them holy in your truth. May they know that you are in them, just like you are in me. And that's what makes them one with each other. Help them get that. Help them know now that you love them as you loved me. God, I hope they know that before I go. I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known all that you are and all that you represent. That's what saying in the name means. It's not just speaking the name or that the word. It's actually everything a person represents. When we pray in the name of Christ or pray in the name of God, it's an action also, not just some words we spit out. And these are the prayers that Jesus was praying, not only for the disciples, but then he expanded it for everybody that the disciples would touch after that. That's what the gospel today was. He was praying for everybody, including us, that would be following in their footsteps. And he would be with them. To be a follower of Christ is to be part of this greater whole. It's like being a drop in the ocean. We're not the whole ocean, but we're certainly blended in it, unique in our own way. No one is an island unto themselves. We are in it together, and yet we are completely diverse. So it's this paradox. And Brian McLaren puts it like this. He said, God's unity is so deep and dynamic that it includes diversity. Over time, this diversity doesn't compromise God's unity, but makes it more and more beautiful and wonderful, so that we can help one another with all of our individual gifts. And there are communities springing up right now with that awareness. More about that on another time, but it's happening. People are waking up. There's a story about two angels with Jesus after the ascension, and they're talking to Jesus, and they're saying, Jesus, I don't know how you can leave and trust these people. I'm seeing what they're doing in their lives. How in the world are you trusting that they're going to carry on your work? What's your backup plan? And Jesus said, there is no backup plan. That's how much we're trusted. That's how much we are loved. And that is what we are capable of doing and changing this world and growing and focusing on what already is good about it. Because there's some amazing things going on. 3-year-old Sophia got that. Look, Mommy, it's a message from God. God loves us all. May we follow through. Amen.